we read a moment ago. Hebrews chapter 4. It's quite clear from the Scriptures that God has an elect people, a chosen people, that only those whom He has chosen or elected before the foundation of the world, the Scripture says, only those people will be saved. That is quite clear from the Scriptures, if you just merely read the Scriptures. Ephesians 1. These people, these elect, are called various names. They're called sheep, as opposed to goats. They are called wheat, as opposed to tares. They are called sons of God, as opposed to children of wrath. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth to save every one of those people. That's why He came. Jesus Christ did not come to be an example. He did not come to live a good life as a man to show us how to live. Although He is our example, that's not the primary reason He came. He did not come to show us the way to get to God. He came to be the way to God. There's a difference. He did not come to tell us what to do to get to heaven. He came to do it for us, to make sure we do get to heaven. His elect. He came down to earth to save every one of those elect, chosen people. And upon hanging upon that cross, one of His final words was this: "It is finished." He did it. He saved all of His elect, chosen people. All that the Father had given Him were saved, and they will come to Him in time by faith. And they will all be saved eternally. And Christ did that by coming to live for them. The Scriptures talks about it as establishing righteousness. Now, I talk about these terms all the time, and I almost apologize because so many people hear these all the time, and so many people know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to apologize for giving the plain, simple truth of the gospel to those who may not understand it. So those who know this, you still rejoice in this. But those who don't, I'm trying to define why Christ came, what He did. He came down here as a man, not to just set an example, but He came to live a life as a man that God would accept. And God said in Leviticus 22, it shall be perfect, be accepted. God doesn't require us to do the best we can. God requires us to do the best He can, which is perfection. He said, "Be ye holy, I'm holy." That means perfect. But we can't do it. All have sinned and come far short of that glorious perfection, that holiness God demands, that righteousness. Well, Jesus Christ didn't know. He came down here as a man and lived a perfect, holy life for 33 years. And one day, God Almighty said from heaven, said, "Now there is a man that I'm well pleased with." God never said that before. He didn't say it about Adam. He didn't say it about Moses. He didn't say it about Noah. He said it about one man, Jesus Christ. He said, "Now that is a man that I'm well pleased with. That's my son." And Paul said he's a man approved of God, accepted by God just because of what he did, his works, his life. And then God took that life. This is salvation. God took that life that Jesus Christ lived and all those elect chosen people that he had purposed to save. He took that life and imputed it. Don't let that word throw you. That means charged it to their account. Made it appear as if they themselves had lived a perfectly holy life. Every one of those elect, every one of those chosen people, the Lord imputed that righteous life that Jesus Christ lived to them. So therefore, God now loves them. God accepts them. God justifies them. And someday they can all go to live with God who is holy in His holy heaven without sin. Now, there's another thing Christ had to do when He came down here. He had to die. He wasn't helpless. He said many times, listen to me, several times He said, no man takes my life from me. You see, you can't kill God. Jesus Christ was and is God. And He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down on myself. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. Christ was a man. It's appointed unto you. Everybody in here will die. Will die. Why? Sin. Sin. Death is a result of sin. And not only will we die a natural death, but if something is not done about this sin that we are, this nature, this evil nature of ours, we're going to die eternally. That's what hell is. But Jesus Christ came down for those elect people, those chosen people, and shed His blood. He died for them that they don't have to. He was punished by God for their sins. God saw every one of His chosen elect people in Jesus Christ, and He punished all of their sins. Therefore, He can be just and holy, a just judge, you see, and yet justify or let sinners go free. You see, God is holy. He can't just say, forgive and forget. You know, boys will be boys. Sinners will be sinners, you know. Oh, forget about it. No harm done. Oh, yes, harm is done. Our sins have to be paid for, okay? That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why He died. He didn't die at the hands of men. He died willfully, purposely. He said, I'm going to die as a substitute for all of God's elect. And then He didn't stay dead. If He stayed dead, Brother Charles, this man stayed dead, if there's some bones in Jerusalem, then He didn't help me a bit. Because I can die and stay dead. But He's got to rise from the grave, and the Scripture says He did. Victorious over death. And it proves that God accepted what He did. And somehow or another, God took all the sins of those people and buried them with Christ somewhere, never to bring them up again. God doesn't dig up bones. He raised His Son, what He did. And now He went back to heaven. This God-man went back to heaven and He sat down, folded His arms, crossed His legs. Job well done. What? What was done? What did He do? Set an example? No, He saved the people. Did everything that was necessary to save them. God's elect. And He did this only for the elect. That's what the covenant means. If you'll read it in the Scripture, that's what covenant means. It's an agreement between God and the Holy Spirit and the Son. Covenant. God didn't make a covenant with us. No, we weren't around when that covenant was made. It's called an eternal covenant. All right? Now, stay with me. Stay with me. It would be a mockery of God's wisdom to say that Christ didn't know who He was going to save when He came down here. So He just shed His blood for any old body. And He died for everybody. That's a mockery of God's wisdom. To say He didn't know who He was coming to save? Oh, yeah, He knows all things.
It would be a mockery of God's love to say He loves some people, but yet they didn't make it in the end. To say that God loves everybody, yet He can't help some people, I don't want that kind of love. I don't need that kind of love. I need love that can do something for me. I love my daughter. I love my friend. And if necessary, I would lay down my life for them. I'd do whatever was necessary to help them, to save them, right? That's the true definition of love. Love provides for its own. Love helps. Love sacrifices itself. And in order to save somebody from death, I'd lay down my life if necessary. God did that. Did He get the job done? Yeah, He did. His love is effectual. Now, election, listen to me. Election is proof of God's sovereignty. He says, cannot I do with my own what I will? We do with our own what we will, don't we? And we have homes. We go to an automobile dealership, okay? And in spite of the pressure put upon us by that salesman, he said, now you want this car? No, I don't. Yeah, you've got to buy this car. This is the going thing. This is a car you need. This is just, or a clothing salesman. They're the worst, aren't they? Pardon me, I hope nobody in here is a clothing salesman, but there are some good ones. But most aren't. They try to sell you something you don't need. That's you. That's you. No, that's not me. This is me. You want this. You need that. That's what you know. No, this is my money. And I'm going to do with it what I will. And I'm going to buy the suit of clothes I want. I'm going to buy the car I want. I'm going to buy the house I want. I'm going to paint it the color I want. I'm going to invite over who I want to invite. You do with your own what you will, don't you? That's not unreasonable, is it? Well, God says, cannot I do with my own what I will? God is the creator. He created all things. He is the potter, we are the clay. Cannot He do with His own what He will? Yes, and He does. He does. He makes one vessel the vessel of honor and one vessel of dishonor. Right? Election is proof of God's wisdom. Proof of God's wisdom. Election is proof of God's love. You see, everyone God chose, everyone God elected and Christ died for and the Holy Spirit calls will be saved. Every one of them. That's what Christ said in the book of Hebrews when He finally presents the family, the heavenly family, God's people, unto the Father. Someday He said He's going to present them to the Father. Here are your babies. Here are your children. He's going to say, behold, I and the children which you gave me, the sheep. Here's the fold. Here's the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I give unto them eternal life. None of them perish. They're all here, Father. Everyone you gave me in that eternal covenant, they're saved. Every last one of them. And Satan's not going to be able to stand over on the side and say, you couldn't get this one. He was too weak. You couldn't get that one. He didn't want to. No, God is going to have total victory. It's a certainty. Now, far from arguing the election, I love it. You see, if I'm elect, I'm going to be saved. And I like that. I don't want this possibility of salvation. I don't want this God loves me, but He can't do anything for me unless He let. No, I want this God loves me. Christ died for me. I'm going to heaven, buddy. That's what I want. Salvation, sure. I want a sure thing, right? If you got a surety, that's His name, isn't it? Surety. If you got a surety, you got a sure thing. Your salvation is only as sure as your surety, right? Well, here's the argument, and I always hear this. Well, if I believe that, well, if you believe in election, then what's the sense in preaching? Why preach? If only the elect are going to be saved, why not preach to the elect? Spurgeon said, if you'll put a big E on their forehead, I will. I won't preach to anybody else. Right? But the fact of the matter is, only the elect are going to hear the gospel. Let me give you an illustration, a very simple illustration to bring this, give you an answer to that question. Why preach? I like to fish. Now, let me rephrase that. I like to catch fish. I don't like to buy 2 or 3 dozen worms, you know, and go out and drown those poor little fellers and not get anything and come home all embarrassed, my manhood defeated. I like to catch fish, you say. I'd rather golf than go and sit on the bank and not catch anything. See, I catch birdies, not a lot, but a few here and there. Bogies, catch a lot of bogies when I go golfing. But when I go fishing, you see, I want to catch fish. What if I went to a lake, and somebody said there's no fish in that lake? No, there may be, there may not. But I'll go fishing. And I'd go reluctantly, you know. I'd go, I'd get my stuff, and I wouldn't really put my heart into it. Cast one cast, let's just quit. I've done that before. Well, what if somebody said to me, there's fish in that lake? I know there are. I've seen them. There's fish in that lake. What if the man who owned the lake said, I put fish in that lake last week. I put 1,000 bluegill. I put 5,000 smallmouth bass. There's fish in that lake. Buddy, I'm going fishing. And if you use this bait, that you'll catch fish. God has an elect people. When I preach, because somebody's going to be saved. I don't know who they are, but God says, go fishing with the gospel. Preach. Paul said that. He was down in Corinth for a while. He said he was getting discouraged, and God said, you stay right there, buddy. I've got much people in this city. Preach. But Lord, we've cast our nets. We've been fishing all night. Cast it over here. I'm not going fishing where there's no fish, but if I know for a fact there's going to be fish, I'm going fishing with the expectancy to catch something. And I keep casting until I catch something. And the fact that God has a people means go preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I've got a people. I've got a sheep. My sheep will hear my voice. You preach the gospel, I'll call them out. Not like you would like, masses coming down to the front, you know. Great flowing revival, but one here and there. A sheep heard his voice, and you'll rejoice. We say, well, what about faith? What about faith? What about this call to repent and believe? Huh? What about it? What about faith? What about repentance? Huh? Everybody that God elects, everybody that God chose will in time hear the gospel. They will be convicted of their sin, every one of them. They will see their need of Christ. They will repent. They will believe the gospel. They will come to Christ to the saving of their soul. Every single one of them. Everyone that believes is elect. Now, they're not elect because they believe. They believe because they're elect. Don't get the cart before the horse. God is first. You get God before the sinner, you say. You get election before the faith. That's the proper order. Everyone God elects will believe, right? Everyone believes because God causes them to do so. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of an electing God. He said, I've chosen this person. They're going to believe. They're going to hear the gospel. I'm going to send them a preacher. They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to be convicted of their sins. They're going to see their desperate need of Christ. They're going to repent of their sin. And they're going to believe Christ to the saving of their soul. Every one of them. That's the wisdom of God in it. That's the power of God in it. That the purpose of God. He said in Romans 9, verse 11, that the purpose of God. Listen to it. These aren't my thoughts. This is God's word. That the purpose of God according to election. Verse 11 of Romans 9. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. You see, God's got a people. A multitude which no man can number.
But he can number them.
He's got them all numbered, doesn't it?
He said, I know my sheep. I know them by name. And he put them in a Lamb's Book of Life. Didn't it?
Every one of them sealed the book up. And that the purpose of God, according to election, that every single one of that number will be saved, it's not of works, but it's of him that calleth. See, if it was of works, God would have no control over it, would it? Huh? If it was up to me and you, God would have no control over it. He'd be wringing his hands, Henry, like they say, looking over the banisters of heaven, hoping, oh, I hope Henry lets me into his heart. I hope Henry will exercise his free and sovereign will and let me into his heart. I hope he'll let me save him. That's not the God of the Bible. God says Henry's going to believe. Henry's going to repent. Henry's going to see his need of Christ. Henry's going to worship Christ. Henry's going to be saved. Why? Because I said so. And I give him the power to do so. I give him the faith. I give him the repentance. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Faith is the gift of God. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He'll never take it back. They save eternally. He can't fall. I like that. You like that? I like that. I like that. No possibility of me falling. Oh, I'll fall temporarily, but never eternally. Never eternally. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Romans 9:16. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. But how we say? Can you quote the rest of that verse? But it is of God that showeth mercy. Well, here's the question. I hear this too again. What if I'm not one of the elect? What if I'm not one of the elect? And they ask this. People ask this asinine question. I'm sorry, it is. It's this foolish question. What if somebody wants to come, but they can't? They're not one of the elect. That's ridiculous. Everybody that wants to come can. Everybody that wants to be saved will. It's just not according to their will. According to God. You see, the want to come from God. The will to come from God. Everybody that wants to come is elect. Everybody. Election doesn't keep anybody from being saved. It makes sure somebody does get saved. Doesn't it? If God hadn't have chosen a people, nobody would have been saved. Isn't that what Christ said? You didn't choose me. I chose you. Didn't he say that? He said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. He says, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But if he is willing, you will. What if I'm not one of the elect? People, millions of people every day get out their hard-earned cash and go down to the Riverside Minute Market or 40 West Food Fair and put down their hard-earned cash trying to buy a lottery ticket. And the chances of winning the lottery, the chances of winning that 6 million, however many it is something like 150 billion to one. I'm going to win. Every day, you know, dollar, $5, go big today. $10. Every day, they spend hundreds, some even thousands. I'm going to win that lottery. Who says so? Only one person's going to win that lottery. God says, I have a people as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Elect from every nation. They come from the north, south, east, west. Elect. Millions of people. I don't see anybody lining up. Oh, if I'm going to be elect, I'm going to be elect. No, sir, that's not the way it's done, you say. They'll put down their hard-earned cash for a foolish chance at one in 17 million, but God says it's 17 million to one. There's no chance involved with God's salvation. Salvation, everybody ought to have a chance. No, salvation is not by chance. It's on purpose. God says, I've got a people. Everybody that believes will be saved. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to believe. You leave the electing with God. Okay? Leave the electing with God. Don't argue the point. Thank Him for it. The fact that He has chosen so many people. There's 12 let us's in Hebrews here. 12 let us. Let us. Let us. I'm going to give you six, maybe. I'm going to give you six this morning and six probably Wednesday night, six later. You can call them invitations. You can call them offers. Call what you will. I call it commands. I call it command. Remember, whatever God commands, with that command, He gives the power to perform it. With the, if you want to call an invitation, with the invitation, He gives the power to respond. All right? Look with me now. 12 let us's in the Scriptures. Hebrews 4:1, it says, let us therefore fear. All right? Let us therefore fear. Fear, that is, awe, be in awe and respect and worship and reverence for God Almighty. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The story here is, he says, therefore. You see that? Therefore. Every time we see, we're going to see therefore, or let us, we're going to see a therefore. Every time. And he says, therefore, let us fear. Why? Because the Israelites didn't. The Israelites of old, you see, they went 40 years in the wilderness. God provided for them, gave them food, gave them water out of a rock, gave them clothing, gave them shoes that never wore out in 40 years. Barbara, you'd be out of business if they made shoes like that today, isn't it? 40-year shoes, guaranteed. God did. Never had to buy another pair of shoes. Never had to make new clothing. Rain bread out of the sky. Open up a rock with water in it. Quail. Smote their enemies on every side. Led them through the promised land. But they didn't believe. They didn't thank God. One day, Moses was gone for about a month. Their fearless leader was gone for about a month. They started dancing naked around a calf. Worshiping other idols, going the way of the world, back to their Egyptian roots, you know. And God got angry. So he said, you're not going in the promised land. You didn't fear me. Well, he says to us, God has provided for us. Some of us are 40, 50, 60, 70, even 80 years old. God has provided for you all your clothing, all your food, all your drink, your shoes, your home, your jobs, your family. God has given us everything. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. James said, didn't it? Everything comes from God. But some people walk 40, 50, 60 years without giving God a thought. Right? He says there's salvation in Jesus Christ. Some people walk 40, 50, 60 years without even giving the name or the thought, a thought to Jesus Christ except the curse with it. Let us therefore fear. Let us. We're hearing this right now. You are hearing the gospel. That's what he went on to say. Unto them was the gospel preached. Moses preached the gospel. And I'm preaching the gospel. Let us fear, therefore. If you don't come to Christ, whose fault is it? God's? Let us fear God, then. Let us fear missing Christ. There's salvation to be had. Let's fear that we don't miss it. All right? Let us. Call it what you will. All right? Now look down at verse 11 of Hebrews 4. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. He's talking about rest here in Hebrews 4. He's talking about eternal rest. He's talking about belief in Christ. Trust, rest. When you rest, you sit down. You relax. You rest. I don't have to teach you how to rest, do I? Now, y'all, I'm going to give you a lesson tonight on how to go home and rest. You just flop on the bed, don't you? If you're tired enough, if you've labored hard enough, if you're weary enough, you'll rest. right? You'll rest. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. What is this labor he's talking about here? Labor. Well, Christ said several times, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. All of his sheep will find it. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. I know them. I call them my name. They'll find it. But in relation to population and large, few seem to be looking for it. Right? He says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Didn't he? He says, since John the Baptist, the prophets, the gospel's been preached, the kingdom of heaven's been preached, and men press into it. Press into it. The man or the woman or the young person who's truly interested in salvation, in eternal life, in knowing God, will do anything and everything it takes to know this God, to have this salvation, to find this God. As Mary said to the disciples, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You want to know God? Hear the gospel. Come and hear the gospel. That's what he says. That's how he says you're going to know the gospel. Come and hear it. Or know God. Who will be saved? He says, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord. Gospel and you'll be saved. Whatever repenting means, I'm going to try to do it. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He says, ask, seek, knock. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. The very gate of heaven itself will be opened unto you. He says, some people don't have because they ask him not. Who are we going to blame when we get for not being saved? Huh? Let us, therefore, labor. Let us labor. Like old Jacob. We need to be like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. If I can find one person in here that will say that with Jacob, I'll show you a son of Jacob. And God says, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not concerned. Because I'm the Lord, I change not. Everybody that calls on me will be saved. What if everybody that wins the lottery, everybody that buys a lottery ticket will win it? Huh? Well, the lines would be 1,000,000 miles long, wouldn't they? There'd be nobody in church this morning. Hell, none of you. I guarantee you. He'd say, well, I'll give it to the church. God says, everybody calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joe, whose fault is it then if I'm not saved? Huh? I'm not one of the elect. It's my fault if I don't call. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Mary went into men's meeting. Horrors. No women allowed. Well, the Savior's in there. I got to get to him. And I don't care what anybody says or does. I won't get to him. Peter walked on the water. Why, you know a man can't walk on the water. He did. Why? He had to get to Christ. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see. He walked straight to Christ. Well, I can't. What if I can't believe? Just do it. Man with a withered hand. You know, the Lord said, stretch out your hand. Well, it's withered. I can't stretch it out. Do it anyway. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is this a hard thing? Is this a hard thing? Didn't the Lord say if there was a hard thing, would you not do it? And that's what men and women are doing today. They're trying to crawl up steps on their knees, kissing bloodstains, counting rosary beads, you know, going through all of these things to try to get... God says, believe. Believe. Believe what? On the Lord Jesus Christ. What I told you to begin this message off with, who he is, what he did. See your need of him. Say, Lord, I need that. I need you to save me. I can't do it. I believe. I believe Christ died for sinners. I'm a sinner. I believe he died for me.
Is that a big thing?
It's a big thing because God did it. But it's not a hard thing on our part, is it?
Let us, therefore.
Let us. Look at this, verse 14. Let us, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast. Therefore, seeing then that we have a great high priest, once Christ is found, or should I rephrase that? You remember Philip one time came running to his brother Nathaniel. Was it Nathaniel? He came running to him and said, "We found the Christ." Who found who? Peter? Doesn't that sound like a typical Arminian statement? The Lord found him. But he was ignorant. He was just a child. He didn't know much, you know, and out of his mouth spewed all kind of ignorance. Nathaniel, we found the Christ. No, he found you, and he called you. But that'll straighten out real soon. You'll realize who found who, won't you, Philip? But once Christ is found, once Christ is believed, hold fast. Don't let go. Paul said, cast not away your only hope, your confidence. Don't cast it away. Your only hope, your only grounds, your only firm confidence in favor of anything else. You know, we don't believe in an easy believism. We don't believe, you know, you accept Jesus, you believe some facts, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and then you can live like hell or do what you want to, you know, you're saved. We don't believe that at all. We believe it takes a supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit. It's an absolute miracle of regeneration that God Almighty must perform. And He does it mysteriously through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the word, and it goes into the heart of somebody who's not interested otherwise, and all of a sudden they're interested. He opens their eyes to see what the word is saying, opens their ears to hear what God is saying to them, opens their eyes to see Christ, the beauty and glory and excellencies of Christ, their desperate need of Him, to see that they're a sinner for a holy God. It's a mysterious thing. It's a complicated thing with God. I mean, it's a complex thing that God Almighty has to do. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God's Holy Spirit, powerful thing. But as far as we're concerned, all He says unto us, believe. 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 And once believing, you say, well, isn't there something now I've got to do to be saved? Well, I've got to keep the Ten Commandments and all that. Well, you will, but you don't have to be saved. Is that right? Huh? Oh, you mean I can go out and live like I want to? I didn't say that, did I? Huh? I didn't say that. I said you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. Because you can't. That doesn't eliminate you from trying. But just don't think you can keep them and God's going to look at you and say, well, you kept that, therefore you're going to be saved. I'm pleased with you. That's your reasonable service statement, isn't it? That's what you're supposed to do. You don't get salvation for that. There's no merit in it. God's not going to give you a merit badge. He's not going to give you a little crown and glory for doing what you're supposed to do. He's not going to give you a special seat in heaven just because you start being obedient. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought, well, I didn't sin. I overcame that sin. You feel real good about yourself because you didn't sin? Huh? Have you ever done that? Well, I have. You know, some temptation besets you and you by God's grace, you don't do it, and you think, well, I'm something, aren't I? Because you just didn't sin? God's supposed to reward me for doing what I'm supposed to do or not supposed to do? We're saved by grace. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved because of what Christ did. Not because I quit my drinking. I ought to do that. It's ruining my liver. It's ruining my marriage. I ought to do that, surely. But it ain't going to save my soul. And if I slip up every now and then and take a little drink, it's not going to damn my soul. If I stay drunk and lie in the gutter, it'll prove that I never was saved to begin with, you see. But one fall doesn't mean that I've lost it all. Or Peter would have been lost, Noah would have been lost, Moses would have been lost, you name it all. David would have been lost, they'd all been lost. If one child of God could fall away, I'd fall 1,000 times a day. But it's my grace.
that it might be sure
to all the seed. I like that. That doesn't make me want to go out and sin. That makes me want to praise God. Elect. I like that. Hold fast. You know the only reason I hold fast? It gives me the hands of faith to hold fast with. I'm going to hold on to Christ. You can have your religion. You can have your baptism. I've been in that place more than anybody. It doesn't do any good. You can have your baptism. You can have your profession of faith. You can have your religion. You can have all your works for Jesus. I'm just going to hold on to one sure thing. There's a man in heaven. That's what he says there. Seeing we have a high priest. Look at it. Verse 14. We've got a high priest. There's a perfect man in heaven. God accepts him. Not me. Him. He says, come unto me. Believe on me. I'll get you right in. I'll take you there. God. I'm laying hold. How about you? Buddy, you talking about somebody going to hold on to some apron strings. And I ain't talking about my mama. I'm talking about my Savior. I'm holding on to His robe of righteousness. Holding on, and I'm not going to let go. I'm resting. Don't upset me. Don't disturb me. Don't tell me, well, you're going to be lost if you do. Don't tell me that I'm resting. Put a sign on your spiritual door that says, resting, do not disturb. Well, you got to do this now, brother. Well, if you'll show me that in the Word of God, I'll do it. Otherwise, you just leave me alone. Let us hold fast. How are we going to hold fast? Well, we're kept by the power of God. He keeps us holding. You know why a child of God keeps on keeping on? Because God keeps on keeping on. Because He abideth faith. Because great is His faithfulness. Because He said, I will not let thee go there in the palm of my hand. Didn't they say that, John? In John 10, wasn't it? Thy sheep are in my hand. And they're in my Father's hand. And we will not let go of them. And I won't let go of him. Because he's got hold of me. All right, hurry. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Boy, you're talking about a good let us now. Come on, let us, everyone in here, read this. Come on, let us. What if I'm not one of the elect? Who's preventing you? He says, let us. Didn't he? Joe, do we keep anybody out of the heaven? Do we keep anybody from coming to Christ? No. You keep yourself from coming to Christ. Because he continually says 12 times in the book of Hebrews alone, let us. Verse 16. Therefore, come boldly, confidently, expectantly to the throne of not Sinai, not law, not judgment. You don't want anything to do with a just God. That's what Martin Luther said. I don't want anything to do with a just and holy God. I want something to do with a merciful and gracious Savior. Not Mount Sinai. We don't come to Mount Sinai, the law, which cannot be touched. You know what the law, every time you see something written about the law, it says, don't come near. Didn't it, Dan? The Mount Sinai said, don't touch me. If man or beast touches me, you've defiled it. You're going to die. The law says, stay away. Christ keeps saying, come. I'll pick you in my arms, and we'll walk right up Sinai, and we'll talk to God personally. The only reason Moses could get up there, Henry, is because God put him in a rock. What's the rock? What's the rock, preacher? Christ. Christ. Come boldly, sinner. Come boldly, not because you have any rights, not because you're worthy, not because you've cleaned up your life, not because you've started living life right. Come boldly. Why? Therefore, seeing, verse 14, we have a great high priest. There's a man in glory. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. There's a loving, caring, merciful, gracious Lord. A man. a man in glory. And he says, come. Come to me, I'll take you to God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When's that? All the time. I need it now. His mercy is anew every morning. I need it tomorrow morning. After I would lay in bed and think the most seamy, wicked thoughts in my dream. You don't even have any control over your dreams. They're so wicked. We're so sinful, right? Come on now. Huh? Anybody got sinful dreams? Well, you've got yourself righteous in your sleep then if you don't. Right? Will anybody in here admit that they never woke up thinking impure, wicked thoughts? Huh? Then what do we need? Mercy. That's the reason the Word of God says His mercy are new every morning. You can come to Him again. They were new, mercy was sure the night before. And you're going to need them tomorrow morning. And you wake up and have mercy, O Lord. And you're going to need them at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. and you're going to need it till the day you die, His mercy, aren't you? That's the reason the Scripture says, on and on again, His mercy endureth forever. Therefore, come boldly, sinner, to the throne of grace. You may obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need. You see, I'm going to fall, and it's going to break my heart. And I'm going to feel so ashamed. And I'm not going to feel like a Christian. But Jesus Christ is on the throne. And He says, come. But I'm falling. Come anyway. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But Lord, I left you. Who said anything about it having anything to do with you leaving me? He said, I'll never leave you. And I'm going to need His mercy first thing in the morning. I'm going to need it tonight. I'm going to need it right now. I'm going to fall. I'm going to sin. I'm going to deny my Lord. But blessed be God, He remaineth faithful. And that's where my salvation is. Now I'm keep coming. That's what Peter said. To whom coming? Keep coming. I didn't stand. You don't make your profession one time. You know, I went down to the mourner's bench and I prayed through. I need to pray through all the time. No, that's not it either. He needs to pray through. Didn't He say that to Peter, Terry? Peter, you're going to deny me, buddy, and you're going to feel like hanging yourself like Judas. You're going to think you're no better than Judas, and you aren't. Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice. But Peter's salvation's in a but. But I prayed for you. That your faith fail not. Peter, you're not going to. You're going to fall. You're going to deny me. You're going to be sorry for it. You're going to feel ashamed. It's going to bring you down to dirt. You're going to lose. You're going to not going to make any strides. You're going to be groveled in the dirt, and you're going to feel like an awful, wicked, wretched, vile sinner. But this is the faithful saying. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and you can be the chief. Come on. Come on. Let us come. I am, right now. Where? Down here? No. In my heart, by faith, right there. Jesus, I come. Just as I am. But you've been married 5 times. So it is the woman at the well. She came. But you're a sinner and no good, but so was Zacchaeus, publican. He came. The Lord forgave him. But I backslid. I'm afraid I'm apostate. So did Peter think he was. But he came, didn't he? Go tell the disciples, and you be sure and tell Peter, come boldly, confidently. You see, where does your confidence lie? We say, I'm afraid I'm going to fall. You are. I'm afraid I just won't believe. You won't. I'm afraid I won't act right. You won't.
You know where my confidence lies? In Him. Right? In Him. In Him.
Because He says, come. You know, and I'll quit on this. I had some more. He says to us, you know, have you ever read how much more is in the Scriptures? How much more? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? And there's several verses that say, how much more? You want a good Bible study? Look that up. How much more? Talks about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Much more. Christ, Peter one day, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sinned against me? Seven times? Lord said, I say 70 times. 490 times. Get where I'm coming from?
How much more
shall He forgive you? Huh?
490 times a day.
How much more? Infinite. He's come. Do we try to exclude anybody from the kingdom of heaven? Huh? Do we preach a gospel that says whosoever will not? Do we deny that whosoever wills the Scripture? Huh? Did I? Everybody take this tape and spread it in Franklin County. Hey, they're preaching up there, whosoever will. Yes, I believe Revelation 22:17. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I believe that. But I do believe that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That God Almighty has to say to them, come. And because God's got an elect people that He chose from the foundation of the world, they will come. And I also believe He says, you come. You come. You want to? You want Christ? You want to be saved? Come. What's stopping you? Who's stopping you? I'm not elect. Well, you can argue that all you want. I'm going to just come. Right? Right. And I'm going to praise God Almighty for His electing, sovereign, saving, electing grace. Grace. Praise Him for electing, choosing me. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. If thou hast never chosen me, I would never have chosen thee. Saved by His grace and grace alone. Sovereign electing grace. And He, by His grace, gave me the will and the want to and the spirit and the desire and the need and the faith to come to Christ. And I came one day. Not me. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. It's Christ in me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Nothing. And I'm holding on to Him. Let us. Brother Joe, come up now. Let's sing that closing hymn. What number was that? 242? Yeah, 242. Sing the first, second, and last verses. 242. Now, I'm not pulling a Billy Graham on you. We're not having an altar call here. I'm not telling you to come down here. There's just a table. I'm a man, right? Who wants to play the music softly while every head is bowed? That's trickery. That's tomfoolery. That's a gimmick. That's a trick. That's trying to get people into religious feelings, you know. Make them feel religious and put up some pressure on them. Come on now, I know your mama's praying for you. That's an abomination to God. Trying to trick people into it. No, that's not what we're doing here. This is the message, you see. If the message has touched your heart and you feel like, I believe that. I see my need of Christ. Come, not down here. Old Brother Scott says, you come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. Explain that. I just did. For 45 minutes. You come in your heart. But you'll want to come, you'll tell the preacher, pastor, preacher,
the Lord has saved me, and it says be baptized, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It says confess him in baptism. You'll say, I want to get up there. I want to confess him. Okay? And we'll stand down here and we'll say, the Lord revealed himself to so-and-so, and they want to be baptized. And you'll be baptized. That's the way to confess Christ. Not to come crying in the morning down here. Not to this preacher, not to this. It's nothing. We're nothing. But Christ is. Come to him. Go to him. That was another. The next one in line is let us go. You go home and get in your closet and come to Christ. But the message is, out of my bondage, religious bondage, I was trying to be religious so long. You don't have to try to be religious. Come to Christ. Out of my sorrow and night, Jesus Christ, I come. In that I free from gladness and light. Verse 2, out of my shameful failure and loss, been a failure at everything. Into the glorious gain of thy cross. Verse 4, out of the fear and dread of the tomb, into the joy and light of thy home. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold. Ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus Christ, thy come. Not to the God, not to the creature. And not while every knee is, every head is bowed. And we're not going to sing 25 verses of this, just so somebody comes and we go home. The message. Come to Christ in your heart by faith. And then confess him in baptism.
Stand. Sing first, second, and fourth.